Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council meeting to order. This is Monday, October 15th, 2007. We will begin with an invocation by Stuart Lewis from the Belder Rose United Methodist Church, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance by Weston Jones from Troop 159. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge?
Let us pray. Loving God, known to us by many names and coming to us in wondrous ways, we ask your presence this evening as these men and women make decisions that guide this city into the future. Help them act with justice and with love and with your wisdom. These things we pray. Amen.
Weston, you want to come forward and lead us? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Weston, are you related to this guy in some manner?
Yes.
How's that work?
He's my uncle.
He's your uncle, okay.
We had to think if he was going to claim it.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we have Councilmember Whalen, who is joining us through a telephone hookup. Councilmember Whalen, can you still hear us here?
I'm still with you.
Okay, and I would like to excuse Councilmember Rawls, who is out of the country, I believe. And as you all know, we have a vacancy in District 5. We will have a video cast that still shows Councilmember Griswold in District 5, but we are currently filling that vacancy, and he has resigned to run for mayor. So first item then is going to be the reading of the consent agenda items. Kim?
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There'll be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 6A, act on person transfer bar license for the Duchess, 3929 East Main Street, number 2. Item 7A, act on contract for two replacement vehicles, $39,218.55. Item 7B, act on two-year renewal supply contract for 15,000-volt aluminum electrical cable, $188,666.98 annually. Item 7C, act on contract for personal computer equipment for the city departments, $1,842,307.79. Item 7D, act on two-year renewal supply contract for catatonic emulsion polymer, $303,419.60. Item 7F, act on contract for Falcon Field Airport runway incursion prevention phase 2, $435,306.30. Item 8A, introduce ordinance for November 5th, amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 8B, introduce ordinance for November 5th, zoning case Z07-87, 6555 East Southern Avenue for a freeway landmark sign. Item 8C, introduce ordinance for November 5th, CUP 07-001TC 241 East 6th Street for a council use permit. Item 9A, act on resolution for a reimbursement of $75,345.50 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 9B, act on resolution to grant power distribution easements to SRP on city-owned property. Item 9C, act on resolution to secure grant funds for salary and employee-related expenses. Item 9D, act on resolution to approve amendment filed in Central Arizona Water Conservation District. Item 9E, act on resolution pertaining to Gila River Indian Community Water Rights Settlement Agreement. Item 9F, act on resolution to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. Item 9G, act on resolution to adopt amendment to the Ethics Handbook for Elected Officials. Item 10A, act on ordinance to allow sites within Town Center Redevelopment Area for apply for permits. Item 10B, Act on Ordinance to amend Mesa Zoning Ordinance to add a new zoning district. Item 10C, Act on Ordinance to amend Mesa City Code pertaining to planned community district. Item 10D, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case 07-93, 1800 South Prisman Road for retail office development. Item 10E, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case 07-95, 2318 South Country Club Drive for a rezone. Item 11A, Act on Subdivision Plat, The Commons at Superstition Springs, 7447 East Southern Avenue. Mayor and Council Members, these are items on the consent agenda.
Okay, I have had a request to remove item 10E from the consent agenda. Are there any other requests to remove items?
Is a request to speak on item 9G, Mayor.
9G? Okay, let's I'll entertain a motion then for approval of the consent agenda with the exceptions of 9G and 10E. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Walters to that effect. Any discussion? Okay, would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay. All right, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes of those present this evening. Item number three is our first item on page two, and that is to conduct a public hearing concerning the home rule adjustment to the state expenditure limitation. And this home rule option would allow the city to determine its own expenditure limitation within available resources. We still have to have a balanced budget. It has to be referred by two-thirds vote by the city council. And it would be good for 4 years if passed by the citizens. Did you want to do a presentation or be available for questions?
I'll be available.
All right. Is there anyone that wanted to address the council on the upcoming proposal for home rule expenditure limitations? Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public comment. Next is to conduct a public hearing prior to the release of petitions for signatures for the following proposed annexations. The first one is item 4A, that's annexation 07-06 in District 5. That's annexing land located north and west of Hawes Road and McDowell Road, approximately 1 acre, and that it's initiated by the property owner, Brian Rogerson. Are there any requests to speak on this prior to releasing the petitions for signature?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Did you have a plump? All right. Okay. The item 4B is annexation 05-10. This is annexing land located south of Range Rider Trail between Haas and Ellsworth Road. It's 17.55 acres, initiated by one of the property owners, Joseph Courtney. Are there any requests to comment on this potential annexation?
No request to speak, Mayor.
All right. Anybody come this evening to address the council? All right. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing on that item then. That puts us on 5A. This is to conduct a public hearing and take action on amending the Mesa 2020-25 General Plan Chapter 2 text of the following minor general plan amendment. And 5A is to a public hearing on general plan amendment, and that's 07-12. And this is a citywide change. Any public comment on this card? Any cards turned in on this one?
No requests, Mayor.
All right. Did anyone want to address the council on this proposed general plan amendment? All right. Then I'll go ahead and close the public comment on that one. We have one more similar fashion. This is to take, well, this is actually to take action on the following resolution, and that follows up on the general plan amendment that we just talked about, 07-12, which is a citywide proposed general plan land use amendment, text amendment to the Mesa 2025 general plan. That's all council districts. It's a minor general plan amendment to change the text in chapter two, titled Land Use of the Mesa 2025 General Plan, adopted on June 24, 2002. In particular, the text amendment details, with the addition of a new land use category titled Mixed Use Community. And the City of Mesa is the applicant submitting this text change. Is there any discussion, questions, motion? Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I'm going to move to approve this. There has been a lot of work that's been done, planning and zoning, folks in our planning office, the people who are working on developing the area out in GM Proving Ground area, what we are now calling Mesa Proving Ground, and this should enable us to have an even better quality development, and there will be many more things that will come back in front of us. This is just a first step, and I think it's a positive step for the City of Mesa, and so I am moving for approval on it.
Okay, I have a motion by Councilmember Walters, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Other discussion? I want to, again, thank staff and thank all the public participation that went into a lot of this discussion. I think this will be a kind of a new formatting for some particular areas of Mesa that I think will benefit from using floor area ratios and other different criteria than the typical zoning application that we've had in the past. Builds in more flexibility, but also builds in what I believe will be a better product. So, thank you. Any other discussion? All right, have a motion and second. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
All right, and the vote is unanimous of those present. All right, that takes us over to page 4, item 7E. And this is a project that actually has some asphalt construction work involved. So I need to declare a potential conflict of interest because I still have an ownership interest in some land that is leased to an asphalt company. So I'll turn this one over to the Vice Mayor.
No pressure, folks, but there are only 4 of us remaining voting here. This item 7D is a 2-year renewal of supply contract for cationic emulsion polymer for the Utilities Department Water Division. The Procurement Services Department recommends authorizing renewal of the Mesa contract to Polydyne Incorporated at $303,419.60 annually based on estimated requirements. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
There were no requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Is there any council discussion? Mr. Whalen, did you want to comment on this in any way?
I imagine you're just waiting to see how I'm going to vote.
All right. We'll go ahead and vote, please. Mr. Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
And the motion carries with 4 ayes, the mayor abstaining because of potential conflict of interest, and Mr. Rawls absent. Thank you, Mayor. Back to you.
Okay. Next item is on page 7. That is item 9G. And this is adopting an amendment to section 2D of the Ethics Handbook for Elected Officials and Advisory Board Members. And we had a request on this one from Marilyn Winterstrom. Marilyn?
Thank you, Mayor. Council Marilyn Winterstrom, 1112 North Center Street. I just had a question on this, and I can understand the reasons for the amendment because I assume that it mostly pertains to candidates' forums, which are provided by the newspapers. What I had always wondered about, and I wondered if it's written, it's the very last sentence of the amendment, which says, the use of these city buildings will only be provided in the same manner and under the same terms and conditions as these facilities are made available to the general public. I wondered if these terms and conditions are available in writing. For example, I do think, and Mesa has had so many issues in the last couple of years, not only candidates' forums, but the other issues, that the newspapers do provide a great public service in this. But I've always wondered, do they pay the city for the use of that? It's all set up, I know. Does the city do that? I was just wondering, as are made available to the general public, could that be the NOW organization, the League of Women Voters, the Mesa Association for Hispanic Citizens, the Boy Scouts, could they be, you know, would they have the same privileges or conditions and terms as the newspapers do? And would everything be set up? Who sets it up and how much does it cost to have these facilities available for the general public? Does anybody know what the terms are? That was my question. That's what I wanted to know.
It's Turn it over to the city attorney.
Mayor, Council, this provision was primarily set there for two reasons. First, if the facility is rented, obviously that would be the same terms and conditions regardless of who is renting it. And my understanding, although I don't have the specifics on the terms and conditions, when the forums and debates, the candidate forums and debates, that facility is rented, and then the candidates are invited to come participate in that forum. With regard to, or the second situation would be with regard to the community rooms in city facilities. We have certain rooms that are made available to the public. Oftentimes, I believe they're free of charge, and in those circumstances, the candidates would be eligible to use those facilities under the same terms and conditions. What we were trying to avoid here is to open up any other city building or any other city facility to a candidate or a council member that is not now made available to the general public. So if the building or the room is made available to the general public, it will also be available to candidates or elected officials. If it is not made available to the general public now, it will not be available. And the purpose there was to avoid any disruption in the city workforce or to have declared what is not now a public forum suddenly become a public forum. So that's kind of the line we drew there.
Does that answer the specific question, though? If some other group besides one of the newspapers wanted to rent this and use a telecast, what would be the fee?
It would be the same, Mayor.
And who provides that information about a fee? And who sets it up? For example, if there are other organizations, that's what I'm just saying. Is there something written somewhere?
Mayor, Council, those fees are approved by Council as part of the fees and schedules. And it depends on which department oversees that area. It could be, I think we've had community forums and fire station, community rooms, and this facility. It may be others. But there are specific fees and schedules, and there are departments that have responsibility for the setup and management of each facility.
Okay, who is in charge of this facility? Where usually candidates' forums, for example, are conducted, who oversees the charges, the fees, the terms and conditions for
ultimately,
these
the
council
chambers. Approves all those.
I beg your pardon?
Ultimately, the council approves all of those fees and conditions for all the facilities.
And where can I get a copy of those?
I'm sure if you go to the city clerk's office, we can make one available to you.
The city clerk's office?
If you request it through the city clerk's office, we can make it available to you.
Okay.
Right, send a copy up to me, too, because it's been a while since I've seen it.
I beg your pardon, I didn't hear you.
I'm just asking for a copy also.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to move for approval of this item. What we're trying to clear up is that candidate forums have been held forever and ever, and I think Marilyn made reference to that in this building, and some of those entities that I think you mentioned, I know years ago I participated in one downstairs by at least one of those entities that you talked about. But in terms of the ethics handbook doesn't apply to the city. It applies to candidates and council members. And so you had a situation where what it appeared to do was allow the city to do something and the newspaper could rent the facility, but it appeared that the candidate might be in violation by attending, which, as I spoke to people who had served on the ethics committee, was not what their intention was at all. And so we were just trying to clarify a problem between what was intended and how a plain reading of this might appear. So we're just trying to clear that up right now.
Okay. I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters for approval, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Any other discussion? Okay, would you please vote? Councilmember Wayland, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
All right. The passes unanimously by those present. Next item is item 10E, and that is a zoning case Z07-95. It's 2318 South Country Club Drive, located south of Baseline Road on the west side of Country Club Drive. It's 23 plus or minus acres, and it's being rezoned from M1 PAD to M1. And site plan modification, this request will remove the existing site plan and associated overlay district from the property. And I think a lot of us kind of refer to that as the Lowe's site at one point, across from the Price Club down there. And I have one request to speak on that, and that is Emerson Turner. Mr. Turner.
Good Good evening. My name is Emerson Turner, 2427 South Colleen Mesa. To Honorable Mayor Hawker and to the council members, as a representative of the Rancho Del Mar Hunter's Ridge Steering Committee, I'm here to remind you of the action taken by the P&Z Board this past January in recommending that Lowe's be denied the opportunity to build a big box store on the M1 zone site at Country Club in Kiawe. The Zone Administrator and Board of Adjustments also agreed with the board's decision through subsequent rulings. Now the applicant is asking for another zoning change. We are here tonight not to object to the request, but to ask that the request be recommended with the following three stipulations. They are as follows. Number one, first, that the owner be required to bring a complete site plan to this council the next time he has a request for this property. This would guarantee that the property would be developed as a complete parcel, and no legal trickery would take place to detriment of the neighborhood surrounding the property, such as developing the front portion of the property and leaving the back portion alone with no designation for its use. Secondly, that the buildings on the parcel be no higher than 30 feet, the height of a two-story building or two-story house in Rancho Del Mar. And thirdly, that the landscaping of the property be similar in nature to the landscaping to the north at the office buildings. We simply want to ensure that the development of the property is aesthetically pleasing to the neighbors to the northwest and south of the property. These three simple requests would provide assurance to the neighbors that the developer would be mandated to improve the property with the understanding that the parcel is not an island unto itself, but a part of the neighborhood community that surrounds the current vacant land. We are all concerned that the developer, Mr. Payne, and the owners, Wolfswinkle, Vanderbilt Farms, LLC, currently appear not to have any pride in the ownership of the property, as evidenced by allowing weeds to grow unchecked on the property. They have to be constantly reminded to cut them. They have also failed to cut the weeds next to the street, which would enhance the marketability of the property. So we wish to remind Mr. Pugh and all concerned that this steering committee will not go away. We want the property developed also, but not at the expense of a negative impact on the neighborhoods. All parties concerned will and must do what is best for the community, and we expect nothing more and nothing less from the owners and developers of the property. Thank you for your time.
Okay. This is a zoning case. Mr. Pugh, are you representing the applicant on this? Please. I usually do this in the other order. I apologize for the switch.
Well, that's okay, Mayor. Mayor and council members, good evening. Ralph Pugh at 1930 East Brown Road here in Mesa. I'm here this evening on behalf of Vanderbilt Farms and Mr. Brent Payne, the managing agent of this property. Mayor, I'd be happy to respond very briefly to the issues and questions that were raised. First of all, let me say to you that the ordinance that's in your packet and is being considered tonight does not contain the suggestions that were just raised. Those very three issues were discussed, debated, and recommended to you from the Planning and Zoning Board without including those conditions in the case. This is a simple case of removing a 1981 site plan from this 22-acre property and a 2000 PAD that are inherently inconsistent with each other. They can't be developed together, and it really is a cleanup here of the parcel. The request is to have you add conditions to the ordinance, and we would respectfully ask you not to do that for the following simple reasons. The first request was to make sure that when this case comes back to you, it comes back as a complete site plan on 22 acres. You, council members, have the authority and the discretion to deal with that. If we come back to you as the owners of this site with only 2 acres proposed for development, you have the absolute right to tell us we want to see how this is going to integrate into the whole site, and you can use your discretion at that time in deciding what to do. So I think the condition that's being suggested is unnecessary, and the Planning and Zoning Board listened to that argument, recommended to you that they not include that in the ordinance. The second issue has to do with the height. This property is zoned M1, and the M1 zoning district specifically allows 40 feet in height. The request by the neighboring group tonight is to reduce that to 30 feet. There is really no reason to do that, Mayor and Council members, because there is no case in front of you that is proposing a specific development plan. And so there's no reason to limit the height of the buildings in the M1 zoning district. It should just be governed by our normal zoning code. And if there ever was a reason to reduce the height, it would be determined at the time you see a plan that's in front of you where you have buildings to see and site plans to evaluate. Finally, the request that the landscaping be similar, that's also a provision that already exists in our city code that requires the landscaping plans to be consistent. And frankly, I think you'll find that any future development of this site will have landscaping that is in excess of what you see there on the north of this site, which is now a project that's probably 10 years old or more, and so you'll see enhanced landscaping. So I don't think you need to put that condition in the case either. Mayor and Council, for the reasons that I've stated and for the reason that the Planning and Zoning Board recommends to you on a 6-1 vote, the ordinance that's in front of you, they deliberated these issues. We urge you to do the same and recommend or vote tonight to approve the ordinance the way it is. Thank you very much, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer specific questions if you have them.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Entertain a motion then. I have a motion by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters for approval. Discussion, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I am certain that the folks in Rio Del Mar and Hunter's Ridge will come back when a new site plan comes along and we'll discuss these issues. At this point in time, what we're acting on is the removal of a site plan, and I don't want to muddy the water, so I think we should move ahead with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board. And let me note that if we were not to move ahead with that recommendation, if we were to add additional stipulations, we would need to send this back through, reintroduce it, go through that whole process.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Okay. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Right. Okay. The vote is 5 ayes, unanimous by those present. Councilmember Rawls is absent. Next item. I think we read one into the record incorrectly. Let's go back to page 4.
Mayor.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I apologize. I looked at the wrong one, and I was reading cationic emulsion polymer, and I thought, well, that's the one that the mayor had a conflict on. I read the wrong one, and so 7D, I don't think we approved it. I mean, we aren't now going to give them $606,838. They'll just get, even though they got approved twice, they will only be issued one contract. So moving on, same conflict that the mayor noted before. Item 7E is wastewater water gas replacement on North Lewis Street from University Drive to 6th Street, City of Mesa project. This will replace aging wastewater, water, and gas pipelines that are past their useful life and experiencing leaks or blockages. In addition, the streets that are damaged from the replacement of utilities will be repaved and the sidewalk ramps will be replaced or retrofitted where possible to bring them into compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act requirements. It's recommended that the award go to Spire Engineering LLC for a total award of $623,689, and the funding is available through various capital bond programs. Do I have any requests to speak on it as read?
There are no requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. Do I have a motion? I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Did you have any council discussion on this? All right. Would you please vote? Yeah, it was just a test to see who was paying attention. Apparently,
none of us.
Apparently, we all failed. Mike, I need your vote, please.
I vote aye.
All right. The vote is 4 ayes, with the mayor abstaining and Councilmember Rawls absent. That motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, I heard emulsion polymer, and I thought it was probably an asphalt emulsion, so I breezed right over the top of that one. All right, let's go then to page 9, item number 12. That's items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
Yes, Mayor, we have one. Jerry Walker wishes to provide a status report on the Veterans Day Parade.
All right, Mr. Walker.
Mayor, City Council, my name is Jerry Walker. I reside at 113 South Ogden Circle in Mesa, and I wanted to give you all a status report on the progress of the Veterans Day Parade this year. The Veterans Day Parade is on track. We're expecting around 100 entries in the parade. And the city council and mayor are certainly welcome to apply to participate in the parade. We'd love to have you there. Please don't be alienated because you didn't support paying for the parade. The city, the people in the city obviously do because we can afford it. We do continue to need donations, though. This is a long-term project. Apparently, we're going to need to do this on an annual basis, and so anyone who wants to make a donation, go to the website mesaveterans.org, and there will be all the information that you need there with the pull-ups that you need to know to be able to support this parade. I want to say a special thank you to Councilman Scott Summers for his dedicated support of this Veterans Day parade. And there is another member of the City Council who made an anonymous donation, and we'll just leave his name anonymous, but we thank him. And the MC for this parade is going to be J.D. Hayworth, our former U.S. Congressman, is going to be there. And one of the honorees is going to be a Miss United Nations U.S., a U.S. Army flight surgeon who is just returning from 18 months deployment in the theater of operations in Iraq. And she'll be there as one of the participants in the parade. And we're going to have we'll be honoring female veterans this year. Is it about time you say that? Okay, well, good. Well, I'm sure they do, too. They made a major contribution over the years, and we want to honor them this year. And we thank you for your time, and wish us well.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We do. Are there any other requests?
No additional requests, Mayor.
All right. I have a motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much for attending.